Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as your children, we have so much that's been promised for us and that we know awaits. You're the King of truth. We can completely trust what it is you share with us because we have seen the promise come true in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Lord, help us cling to that truth that as God's children, we don't need to doubt, but can completely trust in your promises. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what an incredible day we shared in this place last Sunday at Easter. Late service was absolutely packed to celebrate the good news. Jesus lives. He is risen indeed. God came through in his promise to bring you life and hope that lasts forever. He wants to be in a tight relationship with you that not even death itself can separate. Easter is a lot more than just a special day. That's important. It's actually a way of life for all of us as followers of Jesus. We look forward to Easter because it's a day we pull the stops out to enjoy and give thanks for God's blessings. And in these upcoming 5 weeks after today, when our Easter celebration will continue, we're going to look at several attributes, in other words, descriptions of why our resurrected Jesus is our King. Not just today, but all the way into eternity itself. So as we do that, we begin this morning by seeing that Jesus is the King of truth. Even in times where maybe we have some doubts about what he's up to in our lives. Question for you. If you were to use one word to describe what the disciples were feeling on that first Easter evening, what word might you use? Would it be joy? Would it be excitement or hope? How about this one? Doubt. I'm guessing that might not be the first word you'd come up with. But it was a harsh reality for those who were the closest to Jesus, even on that Easter evening. That night, a night that should have been filled with joy, with hope, with excitement, where were the disciples? They were huddled together in a dark room with the doors locked. They could just sense the danger lurking around every corner. Only 2 days earlier, the religious leaders seemed to get the upper hand. At least it sure seemed that way. They finally had gotten rid of Jesus. They killed him. They crucified him on that cross. Oh, but they're not going to be satisfied with that. Now is the perfect time with Jesus gone to go after his followers. So put yourself in the sandals of the disciples for a moment. I get, humanly speaking, why they felt hopeless. Their Lord was dead. It would only be a matter of time until they would be tracked down and found. The disciples were afraid. Afraid of the Jews. Afraid for their very lives. But then imagine the joy that was in their hearts when Jesus suddenly appeared in that room. The same eyes that had seen Jesus suffer and die. The same eyes that had been shedding tear after tear of sorrow now saw Jesus alive. They touched him with their hands. They listened to his words of comfort. What had looked like a desperate situation now no longer looked so threatening. So into that room that had been filled with doubt, with despair, and with a complete lack of hope, the Lord brought a stunning message of peace for them. But let's be clear. It was not just his immediate disciples that Jesus came back for. When you or I are discouraged, when you feel like you're fighting some kind of a losing battle against something that is completely out of your control, or when you feel like you're utterly alone, Jesus enters to fill your heart with joy. This morning, Jesus' word for you is, "Peace be with you." Those disciples were horribly confused that first Easter evening. Now that day, there had been several Jesus sightings. Mary Magdalene claimed that she had seen Jesus outside the tomb. Peter and John, often called the other disciple, raced to the grave only to find it empty. Two of the disciples raced back from the little village of Emmaus with the report Jesus had appeared to them on the road to Emmaus. Now, why were they so shocked and surprised? I mean, hadn't Jesus told them over and over again that he would have to suffer, die, and rise again? Well, they were too deep in mourning to understand. They were overflowing with sorrow and with fear. That's why the doors were locked. I can imagine they were desperately wanting to believe the reports, but it's just too good to be true. And even when Jesus appeared that night at first, they still had their doubts. They thought at first that he was a ghost, an evil spirit who had come only to trick them. Jesus finally did persuade the disciples, but one of them was not there that first night. When Thomas returned a little later, the other disciples told him, "Thomas, we have seen the Lord." But he refused to believe. "Yeah, right. You might be that gullible, but not me. Maybe you guys are beginning to crack under the pressure here, but not me." Thomas had his doubts that such a miracle was possible. He refused to believe that Jesus was alive unless he had some clear, absolute proof. In fact, he demanded those two forms of proof, did he not? First, he wanted to see Jesus for himself, face to face. And then on top of that, he wanted to feel the wound marks in Jesus' hands and in his side. Thomas was overtaken with doubt. Doubt has a way of wearing down the foundations of your faith. You can question what you believe, and if that doubt continues to fester and grow, it can destroy your faith. Satan can sniff out doubt from a mile away. He knows when you're weak. He knows when you're most likely to cave into it. When the peace of God is what you need the most, Satan steps in and tries to replace it with doubt. And the devil might even consider your prayer life the perfect place to attack. Now maybe that sounds strange, because prayer, as we know, is a gift from God. In prayer, God comes to give us strength and comfort. In prayer, you have that wide open communication line back and forth with God in heaven. He is waiting with open ears and an open heart to hear what's the deepest concerns you have in your life, and that you won't even share with anyone else. The doubt, it can clutter that connection. If God doesn't answer your prayers the way you want exactly, if he doesn't send down lightning bolts from heaven to say, "Hey, I'm here, I'm listening," that doesn't mean that God has shut you off. If the answers are not what you want, though, that's when doubt can creep in very quickly. If Satan can get you to doubt that God cares, that he's able to give you what he's asking for, and you go, "It's hopeless," he's won a major victory. And it's when you and I struggle the most with doubts in our lives that Jesus has this way of stepping right in. The arms that were spread wide on that cross lead you back to him and to his amazing words of comfort. "Peace be with you." Doubts can threaten to destroy your peace, but Jesus and his truth came to destroy those doubts. A message of peace was what the disciples desperately needed to hear. They must have been absolutely overwhelmed with guilt. Think about the past few days prior to this. They abandoned him in the Garden of Gethsemane. They turned, they ran at the first sign of danger. And where were they during Jesus' trial? Probably hiding somewhere, probably in that locked room. None of them protested. Not one of them spoke up in Jesus' defense. The days after Jesus died must have felt like an eternity to those disciples. They had plenty of time to ponder questions like, what have we done? And what do we do now? But then Jesus appeared. The living Lord stood right among them with a real physical body, and he greeted his disciples. Did you notice Jesus did not give his disciples a tongue lashing? He didn't express how disappointed he was in them. He simply said, peace be with you. Those words are more than a hollow greeting. Jesus did not wish peace on them. Jesus made peace for them. The events of Holy Week were all a part of God's bigger picture. Jesus willingly suffered and died on that cross to bring them and you and me the peace that we need. Forgiveness, life, hope, a purpose for living. Jesus appeared to his disciples again a week later now to finish some unfinished business. And this time, Thomas was with the disciples. Jesus used that same short greeting, but I can imagine Jesus was looking directly at Thomas when he said those words, peace be with you. And when Thomas came forward, Jesus gave him all the proof he needed. Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Thomas, stop doubting and believe. In a way, you have to feel for Thomas. Every one of the disciples at first doubted that Jesus was alive. Thomas, though, we tend to single out as the one who lacked faith. Even today, if you do not believe something that is generally held to be true, you can be labeled a doubting Thomas. Thomas wasn't perfect. Who is, other than Jesus? He showed a lack of faith. Who among us has never struggled with that? When Jesus appeared to Thomas and destroyed all of his doubts, Thomas responded with a short, absolutely beautiful confession of faith. My Lord and my God. Thomas made mistakes, but to only call him doubting Thomas, I firmly believe is unfair, because he's also Thomas, a forgiven and dearly loved child of Jesus. Jesus then told Thomas, because you have not seen, you have believed, but blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. Who's he talking about? You and me. Each one of us. You and I are the blessed ones. We have not seen Jesus face to face. We have not been eyewitnesses directly of any of his miracles. But still we believe. Still we trust that Jesus died and rose for us. Still we believe that he is alive and he is coming back soon. Still we know that Jesus is our King of Truth. Now, that's not a credit to a supposedly superior faith. Faith is a gift from God. There's no such thing on this earth as a perfect faith. There's still going to be times in each one of our lives, and I'm right here too, when we don't trust, when we question, when we doubt. Satan's goal is to wear you down, to rob you of that peace that Jesus has won for you. But Jesus has destroyed your fears and doubts when he gave his life on the cross for you and he rose from the dead. Jesus brings you peace. Peace is knowing that your brokenness and sin has been forgiven. Peace is knowing there is nothing, not even death itself, that can separate you from God. Peace is knowing that death is actually but a doorway to life with him forever. Last Sunday, we heard that good news that Jesus is alive. But that gospel is not just for Easter morning. The Easter gospel is God's message of peace for today, for tomorrow, for every day in your life. Jesus calls out to you, "Peace be with you." And in faith and joy, we can loudly respond to the King of Truth, "My Lord and my God." In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith of our Lord Jesus. Amen.